Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I feel kind of rude, Bill. A lot of times we have guests in the studio and we chat them up.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to waste material.
No. And we're outnumbered by a lot. There's a lot of people in the studio right now.
You're damn right.
The cast of Superior Donuts, which is making its season premiere tonight over on CBS. That's an 8 o'clock start. That takes place. And at the same time, you guys are in town at Zany's, right?
Yeah, we are.
At the exact same time?
We're performing tonight.
No, we're on Zany's at 8:30.
Are you just going to watch the
show? Premieres at 8, right?
Yeah.
So what people got to do is they got to bring their phones and they got to watch the show on their phone.
While we're doing
CBS
our sets.
All access?
And then you see us.
While we're doing our sets.
Everyone's got a TiVo these days.
Let me introduce you guys separately. Maz Jobrani, Jermaine Fowler, David Koechner, and Rel Battle. Like I said, the cast of Superior Donuts. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you for having
us, guys.
Jermaine Fowler. I've changed
Fowler.
He changed it in the last half hour.
Yeah. It was time.
It's more exotic sounding.
Sexy. I like it.
It gives you, it's sexier.
Like
it
Robert
Goulet.
Mine's Kochner.
Oh, you also changed your name.
Yeah, that's what people think it is anyway.
I'll go with Jobrani. What do you do with Rel Battle?
I like Rel Battle, actually.
How about Orale Battle?
Orale Battle.
Orale Battle.
Real Beezy.
That sounds good.
That's my rap name, actually, Rel Battle. My real name is Arnold.
Oh, it is?
No, I'm joking.
You guys, are you sick of each other yet?
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No.
Is it a no? Rel really said yes. No. It's a no. It's a big no.
No,
we get to work together at a place with other wonderful people, Judd Hirsch, Katie Sagal, Diane Guerrero, and there's food there all day.
All day.
And if we are not working together and having fun, they go into your room. We'll come get you. So you get to go into your room and you nap.
And with us four on the road, we're comedians. We're a different brand of people anyway. So we're the weirdos who kind of understand what it's like to be weird.
Yeah. And like, it's funny. Like, a lot of us aren't morning people. So like, it's easy to wake up and be cranky and just mean and not want to talk to people. But like, we're all tired. We've been working all morning.
Sure. What time did you get up this morning?
5-ish or whatever.
It was still 45. Dark out.
Yeah. We give our publicist a little bit of heat
grief.
once in a while. Shauna over there.
We're very appreciative and like we love each other's company.
She keeps us going.
Sometimes
man.
She calls my phone and tells me to come downstairs. I just look at the number ring.
Yeah. We have a driver. We have a driver who's been like one of the worst drivers we ever had. I've ever had in my life.
He listens right now. We're gonna crash the car because you're
not
talking.
By the way, just so people don't think we're spoiled, it's not like we're unappreciative.
Sure.
That we have a driver, but this guy is lost.
Oh.
I'm gonna get an Uber home because he ain't crashing me.
we came back from ManCow, right? Yeah. We did an interview there.
I'm sorry.
Exactly. And we went downstairs, and usually your driver's waiting out front in the front door. The door's already open. It's warm inside. We go outside. The door is locked. He's not even inside the car. And we're like, well, I guess he's not inside. And finds out he's just at Starbucks and didn't even tell anybody.
Smoking a
cigarette, something like that.
Y'all back already?
And he comes back. He didn't say sorry. He just said, oh, here we go. And he goes back in the car, lets us in, and then...
Wait a minute. I just had some. What if he's listening to this interview?
That's what I'm just saying.
And we go outside. The car's not even there anymore.
He's not going to be there.
Well, screw them, man.
At least you get a new driver.
Yeah.
Sean, we need to set that up because he's probably mad.
He is mad right now.
See, people don't think TV stars have problems. You guys have proved once and for all.
We got
TV
our
stars
issues.
Have the same problems we all have.
He asked Dave for directions.
He asked
talent for directions. He said, you're from Chicago. Where are we going? He said that to the talent.
Did you tell him, Dave?
I did. I don't remember. It's been 20 years since I lived here. So,
So things have changed a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Especially uptown.
What have you noticed? What's changed?
Well, Wrigleyville is just completely changed.
Yeah,
that whole area is.
It's like an amusement park.
Literally knocked the buildings down.
Yep.
Except put all. Yeah, that's much different.
The Ricketts family bought everything around Wrigley and have made it Ricketsville. It's all their stuff.
What was it before? Was it Hood or was it like
Potterville?
It looked like Potterville from It's a Wonderful Life.
No, you had multiple different mom and pop places.
Yeah,
and a lot of apartments.
Yum Donuts is gone.
Taco Bell's gone.
Taco Bell is gone.
They got rid of a corporation?
Yes.
They gentrified a corporation?
Yes. That's how powerful they are.
That's hilarious.
You win a World Series, you get carte blanche. Do whatever you want.
Oh, that's going.
Everybody's Taco happy. Bell's out of here.
What is it, Whole Foods? Is it Whole Foods now?
There is no Whole Foods.
They gentrified the Whole Foods?
Yeah. Well, that didn't exist. You wouldn't recognize it.
No,
it's been
it's
gone
much
for any length of time.
And like that, the traffic's gotten worse.
Yes.
Really bad. Yeah.
Yep, yep. Talk about the Chicago ties to the show, to Superior Donuts, because it kind of got its genesis.
Yes, it did. It's based on a play from Tracy Letts from the mid-2000s. It started maybe at Mary Archie when they started workshopping it. Then it went to Steppenwolf, and then had a Broadway run. And so for years, they've been trying to develop it as a sitcom. And then so Tracy Letts met with a couple of producers who met with some sitcom writers who finally were able to turn it into a successful mega hit that it is now.
That was so subtle and so beautiful. When they did it here on stage, I think it's Michael McKean who played the Judd Hirsch role, right?
Yes, and he think he took it to Broadway as well.
Yeah,
and he's right there. Look,
he's outside.
Why am I not in it?
I describe it as Cheers in a donut shop.
That's pretty good.
But add on to that that our episodes deal with social issues and things of the day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of Cheers with in a donut shop with a conscience.
Cheers more black people.
Two more black people.
Did Cheers have any black people?
They had probably a key grip.
They had John the janitor. He was an extra that was in every scene.
Well, it's Boston, so
not Roxbury, Boston. Yeah.
Some of the writers in the show are from Boston. Chicago, and I got Boston in my head.
They're
from
black.
Chicago.
I count.
They're from Chi-Town, so we always make sure, you know, if we have any guest stars available, like spots in the show. They always like, hey, who do you know from Second City?
Yeah.
We might be in L.A. or we can fly out to do some, you know, do a guest star role in the show. Dave Pasquazi from Veep.
Oh, he's so good.
Oh my. Dude,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's great.
I would say in our show, for the first 13 episodes, at least in 10 of them, we would have small guest stars and large ones too, but there was always someone from Second City working.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And a lot of them I didn't know. They just, hey, by the way, I was also from Second City, so that's fun. Yeah.
Different generations of Second City folks.
Yeah. To give it more of a Chicago flavor, I guess.
Well,
right?
I think it's familiar, and it just so happens that... we do have three writers on the show that are from Chicago, and that might have something to do with it, including the casting.
It has a lot to do with it.
Did it?
Yeah. Tracy Letts, who is also an actor, I guess most people would know him maybe from Homeland, probably.
Probably,
right?
or his most famous play, I think, is August Osage County.
Yeah.
He won the Tony, I believe, for that.
He can write some very multi-leveled, very, very dark things if he wants to, can't he?
Yeah.
I like that about him.
Although, you know, he does not run the show, and it was just the source material, so he's... I wonder how many people come up to him every week. I'm watching your show.
Yeah. And he's come by a table read.
Has he?
Yeah, we met him.
Pilot,
great guy.
For the pilot. Good dude.
What does he say when he sees what you guys are putting out? What does he say?
He likes it, man. He just came by to give us his blessing and also, like, you know, just to tell us, you know, what his two cents are for, like, the, you know, the circuitry of the show and what just worked out for him in the play and what we could, you know, borrow.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. So
some of his work might not translate. Like, Killer Joe might not make for a great sitcom.
Right. Nah. Probably not a great sitcom.
And Superior Donuts, who had the debt? Was it Franco?
Yeah, Franco had the debt.
He had the debt, and he got beat up real bad. Ended up in the hospital.
Yeah,
might be too heavy for multicam.
Yeah,
you know, but the source material was ripe for a TV show.
Well, I think what they took from the play was the heart, because in the end, you know, in the play, the Arthur character, the Judd Hirsch character, comes and helps the Franco character, as does the Russian guy next door that turned into a Middle Eastern guy now. So, but basically, what I'm saying is, it was a play. It was a nice play where. It's got heart. So I think they've taken that and they've put that into the show. So a lot of times you have great scenes between Jermaine here and Judd where they're having emotional toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
And then we kind of sprinkle in some flavor.
Show's got a lot of range, gang.
Yeah.
Some people say it's a cultural barometer.
People have said that.
Yeah.
A cultural barometer.
Everyone said that. Everyone has said it.
I got a tattoo on the spine of my back.
The show is Superior Donuts. It's premiering tonight on CBS. Season 2 is. That's an 8 o'clock start. Or go see the guys at Zanies in Chicago tonight. Zanies.com has all your ticket information. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
The cast of Superior Donuts with us in the studio. Jermaine Fowler, David Koechner, Maz Debrani, Rel Battle. And tonight is the premiere of Season 2. Congrats on that.
Thank you so much.
Channel 2, CBS, 8 p.m. And then a live show begins 8:30 at Zanies in Chicago. Tickets still available for this?
No, we sold out, baby.
I bet you did.
Sold out, but I have some. I'm selling some outside.
Some black market.
Are you? Maz,
are you?
I'm scalping. Turns out Maz bought 20.
I bought 20 right out the gate, man.
No, Maz.
There's no Groupon for it or anything?
No.
be cool if like people could watch our show at 8 and then rush over, you know, to the show. Maybe is that
right?
Does
you
that
could
work?
Do both.
There are no other shows tonight with us.
Why didn't you start it at 8 and have a little viewing party with everyone?
We thought about
that's
that.
What we should do, but we're that. Tired. We need to sleep after all the indictments we handed out today.
Yeah, they got Koechner. They got Koechner.
Oh no, Dave!
But I won't turn myself.
No,
in.
You can't.
Yeah, he's
well,
here.
We'll not go lightly.
Oh, you're starting an indictment too. Wow.
Indictment too, yeah.
You are working.
Off the air, I said David Koechner was great as one of the detectives Fusco in Twin Peaks.
Fusco
and
Brothers.
Your friends didn't even know that you were on that.
Well,
we don't support Dave very much outside of donuts, you know. No, I didn't know, man.
I was done with it before we even shot the pilot, and then it took a year and a half for it to come out, or a full, yeah, no, year and 4 months for it to come out. So you almost forget that it's going to be on. Yeah.
Were you a Twin Peaks fan?
A little bit. Certainly, David Lynch fan.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool experience.
It's a funny movie. I saw the movie a while back. It's funny. Like, it's just underrated to me. It's just kind of got these elements to it, these really Midwest elements to it that make me laugh. Reminds me of Maryland a little bit.
The movie was called Fire Walk With Me, right?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. Twin Peaks Fire Walk
With Me.
Is that
the one with they had the guy, the dead body photographer crying during the... No, that wasn't it then. I saw the
Jermaine was high when he watched this movie.
No, it was an hour and a half movie. Ah, screw it. Never mind.
Are you thinking of Nightcrawler?
No, I'm thinking about Twin Peaks. Thinking about Twin Peaks, yeah.
Could be.
It wasn't funny.
It was hilarious.
I mean, funny when it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Wait, like a here's the barometer. Was Saving Private Ryan kind of funny?
Hilarious.
Nah.
Hilarious movie.
Schindler's List. Was
that was funny?
Yeah, Schindler's
List. Like, oh, Color Purple hilarity.
That was
just saying.
That was funny. That was funny. Sophie's Choice was kind of funny.
That was a good one. That was hilarious. That's a
what's Richard Pryor now?
Yeah. He was in it. Boz, the first time I met you, and now this would be 9 or 10 years ago, you were part of the Axis of Evil comedy tour. I went to see you guys perform. At the Old Vic.
Yes.
And what a show that was.
Yeah, I remember that.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. We came through town. The Axis of Evil Comedy Tour was kind of like, Kings of Comedy, or what was the other one? What was it?
Comedians of Comedy?
No, what was it?
Million Dollar Quartet?
The Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Like the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, but it was Middle Easterners.
Yeah.
And we were touring, in 2007. And we were just talking about that today, actually. It's crazy because you do that. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then people like that came out on Comedy Central. And then to this day, like people still come up to me sometimes and they'll be like, yeah, man, I've seen your stand up. And they'll quote that.
Really?
Which is nice.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
you
should come to like a newer show.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you get, you know, it's like old stuff you haven't done.
But you saw it on Netflix. Why didn't you keep going through your queue and watch my other three?
I'm like, oh, I need you.
Suspicious.
But you guys were breaking down stereotypes at a very, very important time to break down stereotypes.
Yeah, it was just, you know what it was we were just comedians that happened to be from that part of the world, and we got together, and it was there was a lot of issues to talk about, and I would say now there's even more issues to talk about. I mean, I'm Iranian, I these guys have seen it on stage. I start the show by saying, you know, 40 years ago when I came to America, nobody liked Iran.
Yeah,
and still nobody likes Iran. It's like
it's tough progress.
That's tough sledding.
It's tough sledding, man. And like I was like, we've been in every travel ban. We've been travel ban 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. Every 6 months, there's a new travel ban.
Yeah,
and we continue to be in them. But so I think that it's important to have people from all backgrounds doing comedy in the sort, because then it humanizes you.
Yep. Right.
So whether it's shows like, you know, you got Master of None now that Aziz Ansari is doing, or The Big Sick, I just watched that Kumail Nanjiani's movie. Mm-hmm. It's good to have people from that part of the world, given the anti-immigrant sentiment we have in America right now, for people to maybe stumble upon some of these projects and be like, oh, that's kind of a, those guys are
just like me.
Just like me. And in this show, actually, in Superior Donuts, I play an Iraqi immigrant.
That a stretch for you?
I just have to make an accent like this, and I talk like this. And nobody on set knows what that accent is, so I just do it.
That's good enough.
Sounds different. Yeah, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He's from the country next to it, so he must know. But no, what's fun about it is actually my character is kind of like Carla from Cheers or from Danny DeVito from Taxi. I say a lot of like inappropriate stuff.
Yeah,
I'm a big time capitalist. I play a guy who loves Trump, and he's from Iraq. But what's fun about it is that they give me a lot of funny lines to say. So I always light up when, like on Twitter, the night of, people are like, oh, that was fun that you said this and that. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they're watching a Middle Easterner and they're laughing. And that's a good thing,
sure.
I think, you know?
Yeah. Jermaine, what's the difference between season one of Superior Donuts and season two of Superior Donuts?
Oh, man. Season one, I always tell people, this is just an introduction to like what we could do. Yeah. And number two, you okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is that wrong?
Sorry.
Man.
No one knows how to do the Heimlich, so you're on your own here.
I guess season two, we just expanded on what we did so well about season one. You know what I mean? It's just we have so many people from different points of views and backgrounds, and we all think differently. We all say things that, you know, we all might not agree with, but like, honestly, we opened up everybody's backstories and let people know why they think and say the things they do.
Yeah. Don't you think, guys, that just the fact that there is a season two says you're doing something right? I mean, they try a lot of things, but the mere fact that you're here for a second season says you're guiding the right way.
It's true. I mean, just to think about what it takes to get a show on the air in the first place, and then when you're lucky enough to be cast in it, and it's still going, and you get to season two, and you're like, oh, we have to wait, work past 2 o'clock today? Oh, you know, you got to realize how fortunate you are. But yeah, it gives it a chance to really, you know, dig deeper. Like the first season, you really don't overwhelm the audience. You're trying to get them to buy into the primary relationship between Arthur and Franco, and then they're able to expand it. And I think they've done a great job this year of putting everybody into the storyline. Sometimes you felt like you're outside the storyline and you're commenting on what's going on, but this year everyone's really integrated into all the storylines. It's fun.
And it's really hard just to even have a comedy show on network television at all. Like, there are very few. This isn't in the 90s.
Yeah.
There are very few, so for us to be able to come back, it's a testament to we're doing a pretty good job, I think.
What'd you guys learn from Judd Hirsch?
Everything, man.
Yeah, he's a
consummate professional.
He? Yeah.
This guy's been doing theater since the 60s. You know, he always has notes for us. I mean, he makes every line we might think, like, what's that line about?
Katie had the best thing ever. She said, Katie,
I'm done.
what Katie say? No. Katie, Judd was talking to Scott Ellis. He's a Broadway a theater director, and he came in to do an episode for us. And Scott directed as if he was doing a Broadway play.
Yeah.
Never done that before. Different experience for me. I felt like I was actually really acting. I felt good. So Judd had a gripe. You know, just a disapproval about a certain line and just a blocking and of one of the scenes we were doing. And he talked to Scott about it, and them two were talking about it. And me and Katie were just watching him talk to Scott. 40 years of experience doing this. And Katie goes, wow, you know what? Judd, out of everyone in this whole lot, has the most experience doing these multicam sitcoms.
Yeah.
People should just shut up and just listen to him. It's the truth. He's always right, though. But he speaks in his own little language. It's so funny. You know what I mean? But he's always right about everything he says.
Something happened, too, that I heard, SEAL Team, or that's the name of the show, right?
Yeah.
SEAL Team is right next to us, the stage next to us. And quite often, that's a big show, and they got a lot of external
huge
shots
production.
And stuff. So they'll close down the regular way for us to get to our parking spots, and we got to go around. And supposedly they had closed it down, and Judd pulled up, and the guy was like, you got to go around. He pulled his window, and he goes, I'm Judd Hirsch. And they made way, and he went right through.
And he dropped the mic, and he drove off.
Nice, nice.
Judd Hirsch.
The man is he's fantastic.
I bet.
Man.
All right, so are you hitting the road just today in Chicago? Or are you on tour all over the
place?
This is the last
stop till L.A., actually.
Yeah. Perfect. We did New York, Philly, D.C., now we're in Chicago.
Yeah, we did all the major markets, but if we third season, I want to do Denver and Austin.
Yeah.
And
maybe,
you know,
over 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Yeah, yeah.
So we don't have to get up at 5 every day.
that span, yeah.
Spread it out a little bit. We're up and on the road every day.
Congrats, you guys.
Thank
awesome.
Thanks
for having us,
Superior
guys.
Donuts is on tonight. Season 2 premiere tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. But go see the guys live. Go see Jermaine Fowler, Dave Koechner, Maz Kobrani, and Rel Battle if you have tickets. If not, wait out front. Be patient. Something will happen. They're at Zany's.
Yeah. If you don't have tickets, you know, watch Superior Donuts tonight at 8 p.m.
Yeah, that'll work. Thanks, guys. Good luck to all of you.
Thank you, guys.
A quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.